Interesting question. Philosophy question, I guess. Okay, a little break from the Gemara. Speaking of a little break from the Gemara, question is, why yeshiva and yeshivas in general focus on Gemara, essentially, and seem to de-emphasize or don't spend as much time on Hashkafa, on Chumash, on Halacha, Navi, whatever, other stuff, right? Seems to be an overemphasis on Gemara, right? And why is that? After all, a lot of things in Torah, right? Okay, so I think the answer is, Ram takes it up. Okay, so the Rambam says, I'll read you, basically the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei Torah. So the first four prakim in Hilchos Yesodei Torah are devoted towards like talking about like metaphysics, talking about God, talking about Malachim, Ahavas Hashem, different, then he talks about like physics, Maaseh Bereishis. It's called Maaseh Merkava and Maaseh Bereishis. Maaseh Merkava is like metaphysics, Malachim, non-physical things, you know, and then Maaseh Bereishis is studying the universe, physics, whatever. Maybe we would call it physics, but whatever. And, you know, analyzing God's universe, right? And studying it and some of the stuff like that, right? And he says that through a person studying these things, a person recognizes God and sees, is drawn to God, sees the great Chachma in the universe, and it's unbelievable. A person is moved towards God by seeing the great Chachma involved in it and Maaseh Bereishis and Maaseh Merkava.
He puts that under the mitzvah of
Yedias Hashem, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, but they're all brought about seemingly through these studies.
Right, like study of physical world and
right, physics, metaphysics, not Gemara, so I'm talking about Gemara,
right.
So the other stuff, right, philosophy, whatever, all we would, I guess, group under the framework of philosophy. We call it philosophy, but there's divisions within it, right? Physics, maybe you even call it, whatever.
Right.
Okay, so it says, so then he says like this, this is at the end of Halaparik Dalet, at the end of these four prakim, he says, V'nyanei arba prakim elu, shebechamesh mitzvos elu, so these four prakim, when these five mitzvos, and the five mitzvahs are to know that there's a God, that you shouldn't believe that there's any other God, to study God's oneness, to love God, to fear God. Yeah, so these are studies. So Haim Shechacham Mirshon Koronoso Pardes. So the Chacham Mirshon called this Pardes. Pardes is like the vineyard, or the orchard. Pardes. It says, Kemosh Amru Arba Nechmasu the Pardes. Gemara says four people went into the Pardes. So the Gemara talks about four, Rabbi Kiva, and I forget who they were. But there are four people went into the Pardes. The Avot Bishak Dole Yisrael, even though these four guys were great Gedol Yisrael, the Chacham Gedolim Hayu, great Chacham, Lo Kulam, Haya Bahem Koach, Leido Lahasid, called Dvar Malborion. They weren't all able to have, they didn't all have the strength and the knowledge to be able to understand these things on their depths, to really get to the bottom of these things. These four, the Chacham, even though they were great, they didn't all have the ability to understand these things on their depths. And the Gemara says, I think one of them, Rabbi Kiva, came out alive, another one of them became an apikoros, another one went crazy. It's like, she's showing that these were the greatest of the great, but still, some of them, they didn't all make it. They didn't all make it out to really understand these things properly. The Ani Omer, the Ram says, and I say, She'ein ro'i l'tayel b'pardes, l'hitayel b'pardes, it's not fit to walk in the orchard. It's a mashma, right? To walk in the orchard. Elamishin ismale kreso lechem vasar. But someone who filled up his belly with bread and meat. Also a mashma. Okay? Also a mashma. What does it mean? The lechem vasar was, you shouldn't enter the pardes, these areas, unless you're first full, right, with bread and meat. What is lechem vasar? Lechem vasar, what does that mean? Who leida biur ha'asar v'amutar, to know the explanation of that which is asar and mutar. Right? Ukayotze b'an mishar mitzvos. And then the similar thing with other mitzvos. Certain mitzvos is asar and mutar, sometimes it's chayiv and patar, or talmei and tahar. But it means halachos, halachic system. Okay, so lachon basar is the halachic system. The understanding, the biur of these things, the explanation, the interpretation of these things. V'afal pisha dvaram elu davar katan, karos on chachamim, even though these things the Chachamim call davar katan, the small matters, right? Small matters. Kashar amru Chachamim, Because the Chacham said, Davar Gadol, Maisa Bereishis. Right? Maisa Bereishis is, I'm sorry, Maisa Merkava. Davar Gadol, what's the great thing? The great thing, the big matter is Maisa Merkava. The highest study of metaphysics. God, Malachim, God's oneness, right? But Davar Katan, Havayasa Havayah, Davayah Rava. And Davar Katan is the questions of Abaye and Rava. That's called Davar Katan. It means Gemara, Shas. That's Davar Katan. Small. Small in comparison. It's small. But Afal, even though the Chacham called it that, Afal pi kein Reuyin hein lahakdima. Even though it's still fit to precede them, to precede your studies, it's to do them first. Why? Shehein miyashvin daito shel adam tchila. Because they miyashvin daito, settle your mind first. And we have to explain what that means. But they settle your mind first. Okay, they settle your mind. Okay, we'll explain that. Ve'od, and also shehein hatova hagedola sheshpia hakadosh baruch hu liyishav haolam hazeh. They are the great good that God bestowed upon Yishav HaOlam, for like the populating, for the world to be populated appropriately. In order so that people will be able to get Olam Haba. The Efshar Sheidoyim HaKol, and it's possible for anyone to know them. Godol VeKatan, a great person or small person. Ish VeIsha, man or woman. Balev Rachav Balev Katzar. Someone who has a very wide mind, right? Genius, brilliant, right? And a small-minded person. Okay? Period. Okay? So what's he saying? He says it's a fit. Even though he's addressing your question, right? He says right? He's saying that the highest studies are really the Gavur Gadol, and that's the essence of everything. Studying about God, isn't that? Shouldn't we just study about God all day long? Think about God and physics and malachim and all these things, and all the things. Ultimately, that's the end all of knowledge. So just study those. Why are we spending our time on these small things about, halachos and details and whatever? Just study the main thing. Davar Gadol. This is Davar Gadol. He says, no, you should not study Davar Gadol until you first study Davar Gadol. Right? Why? Two things. It prepares your mind, settles your mind first, and because these Davar Katan is the way, the route for the world and mankind to gain the proper way to live on this world and the world to come, the world which follows. And it's possible for anybody to get that. God gave it to mankind, everybody could get that. The metaphysics stuff, he says, you see, even the greatest Chachamim, some of them didn't make it out alive. Okay? So let's try to analyze these points, okay? So what does it mean, first of all, that it settles the mind? Settles the mind first? What does that mean? It's a good question. Miyasha means settles. Yeah. That it means that it trains your mind, right? Trains your mind, yeah? Right. Exactly, right. Jose, right. If you don't have the training and the skills, you're not going to get good ideas. Which I think the point is that a lot of geniuses out there, but they don't know how to think. Proper methodological thinking, and they make mistakes in thinking. They're errors, right? Especially in areas where we have emotions. When you get into areas of metaphysics and God's existence and man's existence, I mean, it's very easy. The area is very subtle, and we have a lot of bias and emotions towards wanting God to be physical, let's say, or I don't know, whatever, all kinds of good things, There's the whole area. You're dealing with philosophy or the Chumash, even any of these things, you're dealing with it's more subtle kinds of things, and it's very easy to project your own wishes, your own desires, your own emotions, your own, and to make mistakes. And the thinking is subtle. And the thing is that and that's what in the world, there's a lot of people who are very brilliant, but they have stupid philosophies. Right? But what Gemara does, and the halakhic system which God gave to us, because that's the way he set it up, it's a system which is designed in a way that it trains the mind. And it trains the mind to be able to think properly and clearly in every area of life. In Gemara, in life, life's decisions, and ultimately in philosophy and Davar Gadol, as one ascends the chain of knowledge, through having a mind which is trained, And through learning, which is through study of Gemara, a person is able to gain higher levels of knowledge. But to just jump into the higher levels of knowledge is dangerous. You see some people, you know, went off the derech and whatever from it. And the person's not capable. It's much more, it's harder, more abstract, more subtle, more pitfalls. Gemara is, what's amazing about Gemara is, first of all, it's very, like, rigorous. And this is sometimes is emotionally bothersome about Gemara. It's like you have to, like, be very, very precise. And your mind sometimes you want to be free. You want to be able to just, you know, to speculate and to be, you know, to just go off thinking and making stuff up and whatever, right? I mean, that's part of what's hard about Gemara is, like, if it has to be absolutely clear and solid thinking, step-by-step logic, and define exactly what you mean. And there's a million problems. Every daf of the Gemara has 1,000 things to define, right? So it's like all day long, I mean, there's like tons of problems, tons of things to work on, which every single time you do another problem in Gemara, you have to be, first of all, you have to have the right, get the facts clear, which is part of thinking also, is to be able to organize just deductive, you know, reasoning, is to organize all the facts and to hold them in a proper order and to be able to figure out what matters to this, you know, having all the facts clear, and then to conceptualize them and define different points and, you know, learn how to ask questions of things, find contradictions, open up, be creative to kind of come up with answers and using the facts. You're grounded in the facts, though. See, that's what's, when you start saying philosophy, it's like you're out there. You know, it's like a wide open thing and you can just, it's a field day for your emotions to just get you, you know, to lead you astray and to lead you into believing. Okay, you know, it's like you don't, it's not so rigid. Gemara is very rigid and you're bound by a lashon and a fact and a, you know, a different case and what about that case and what about that case. So it's like you're very tied down and you have to be very rigorous and, you know, in doing so. But that trains your mind and it teaches you how to think. You have to be able to distinguish between different cases and you have to be able to define concepts, conceptualize things that, you know, kind of develop the categories of thinking so that you don't confuse different things. Sometimes, you know, you just make logical errors because, you know, Gemara, you know, the more you learn, the more you realize, oh, that was a logical error, this Gemara, that question which I had is a logical mistake. I was assuming a certain conclusion, I had a premise that was, right? I mean, it's all about, that's what we do all day, thinking, right? And training, so we learn how to think. You know, it's like for sometimes, like I teach math, you know. So sometimes, like kids ask, like, "Why?" You know that question everyone asks a math teacher. It's like, "What do we have to do this stuff? How are we gonna, you know, how are we gonna use this stuff? You know, are we gonna use this in life? You know, or do you ever use this? Or, you know?" So I, this is my joke sometimes, I say, "Yeah, I use this stuff every day because I teach them, you know, in the class, you know." But the answer I ultimately end up giving them is because it teaches you how to think. You know, like it doesn't really, math doesn't do it as well as Gemara does, but it does it a little bit. For your average college student, is you have to be rigorous and logical when you're doing math, right? And being rigorous and logical, you'll use every day in your life. You will, if you think properly and clearly. In math, you can't just be fluffy and whatever. You got to really step by step thinking, and that trains your mind. You have to focus. You have to think clearly. You know, and when you do that, you learn how to do that. Then, when you have a life decision, you can do that. When you deal with any area in life, you have to decide what job to take. You have to do work at your job. So, but that's math. Math is like one type of thinking, and it's certainly not as broad and as great and as conceptual and as Gemara is. But it's like that idea that it's like the study designed by God to prepare people, to prepare your mind for reaching higher levels and to being able to approach areas of knowledge and not to fall into the pitfalls that a person, ordinary people, would fall into.
But when they first got oral Torah,
you want to ask the question again? Ask the question again for Tibbs.
So, why, if the oral Torah was given at Sinai in a different form, in just the halachic form, then why do we need to study through the arguments? That part wasn't given.
Okay, good. So I think it's like, see, when you first start learning, you kind of think is that all the definitions and all the stories you give are basically to explain machlokasim. Like if you'd, for instance, try to take a Gemara on your own, try to start learning a Svara on your own, and I don't know exactly what level you guys are at, but I know when I was at, you know, I imagine you guys are at, is I go through a Gemara, and when you bump into a machlokas, I say, oh, let's define it. And then I bump into Havim Maskan, I say, let's define it. But if there was just a halacha, what's to define? It's just a halacha. Simple. what's there to define, right? It's just the halacha. That's the halacha. So that's your question. It's like, at Sinai, they wasn't given machlokesim. They never made Rabbi Yehuda. It just said the halachas. So what's there to define? What's there to, right?
Right. Like,
that's
kind
of your question.
What was Talmud Torah back before?
Okay, good. So that's what I think is, I think the mistake is like, let's say you have a machlokas, right? Let's say you have a machlokas. So you're defining the machlokas, but each side is a conceptual definition of the sugya. You know what I mean? Like, Rav Meir had one way to understand the sugya, Rav Yehuda had a different way to understand the sugya. So what we're doing is we're trying to define, to draw the contrast between the two. But in the contrast between the two, you have a svara for each one. And that itself is a conceptualization. Each side is a conceptualization. In other words, we're trying to uncover the two different ways. And it's a tool to help you define each side is by having the other side. It allows you to be able to uncover what the idea is for each side. But you don't really need two sides for a svara. I mean, you could just have, here's the halacha. You could ask a question on it. That halacha doesn't really make sense. How do you understand that? And then you'd have to work it out. You say, oh, the concept the Torah is teaching you, this mitzvah is structured as this. You know, so not everything is defining a machlokas. Is the machlokas happens to be that this position holds this is the way it's conceptualized, another position holds that's the way it's conceptualized. So it's easy for us to start with a machlokas because it helps us. It's very hard, especially when you first start learning, to just say, okay, here's how I define it.
Right, like if you go through Mishnah and try and learn the Mishnah the way that we learn Gemara, like we study other people's arguments when we learn Gemara.
Yes, but if you study the Rambam, for instance, you could also do what we're doing. You could also do it. It's just harder. It's harder, but even if the Rambam doesn't have any machlokesim, but you could have tons of questions and problems and answers. You read through halacha and the Rambam and say, why is he saying this? Why is he saying that? What's the definition of this halacha? I mean, there's tons of stuff to do without a machlokes. So machlokes is a tool that we use, and it's a helpful tool because it helps us realize the different ways of looking at it, and it allows us to have something to grab hold of. You know, the two different points of view, sometimes like the Socratic method, it helps you. You know, it kind of helps you realize, separate out the different ways of thinking about it. But it's a tool. It's a tool. But you don't need that. The better you are at thinking, the less you need that as a tool.
Right.
And you see one halacha is given at Sinai, they do the exact same thing that we would do. Except they just may not have two sides. They have one side. But you don't need two sides to define a thing. So you're doing the same type of thing. Well, you ask questions. Like sometimes you ask a bunch of questions. Isn't this is a contradiction? This halacha, does this make sense? Not necessarily two people. It doesn't do two people. So it's still, it's not, I mean, it's not, and you didn't analyze it, and maybe one rabbi would come to one thing, another rabbi would come to the other one. Now they both gave us their things, and now we just take both of them. But it doesn't have to be both of them. They learned it on their own, and they didn't have machlokas, they just did it on their own, but that's what they came to. So the analysis itself is not, it doesn't have to be through machlokas. It's just that, especially in yeshiva, and you know, I think when you first start learning, it's much easier to you realize the problem. You don't have to create questions because they're there. It's a machlokas, so that automatically, what's a machlokas? You know what I mean? But you don't need that. You can just learn Rambam in theory and just ask all kinds of questions and try to define it. You know what I mean?
Could you also do that with Torah Shabbat?
Yeah, you could, but you see, it's different because in Torah Shabbat Peh, it's designed. The nature of the thing is like it's like scientific form. Like let's say in science. In science you have a similar thing. Is how can you study science if there's no machlokas? I mean, you just try to define the principles, define the laws, so you know. Now sometimes in science you have two competing theories, so fine. So then you could define the machlokas, but you could also just study define the principle in its own right, you know? So I'd say it's like Torah Shabbat Peh is designed to, it's very intensive in the details and the conceptual formulations. In the rigor of the formulations and the abstractions and the, you know, the categories. So I mean, Torah Shabbat Peh isn't necessarily like that. It's a different type of a study. It's not designed to train your mind.
So what would the function of the other I don't know what to call all the other written thing, but like not just Torah Shabbat Peh, like just halacha. So is there as part of Talmud Torah? How does that fit in? Or?
Oh, so well, that's I think gonna be the other aspect. I mean, part of learning Gemara is the second thing the Rambam said. It's like halacha. Because the Torah, the mitzvah, serves what the great good which God created. That, I think, is the second part, which he says. The second thing about Gemara, did you have a question? No? You had a question, so I'll get to that in a second. That's also the way God set up the system in Torah, is it lends itself to machlokesim emerging. it lends itself to creative individuals thinking and analyzing and interpreting and applying new things and conceptualizing. It's a living system, which lends itself to the study of the Talmud Torah.
And
so,
does Torah Shavuot have any of that to it?
It does, but Torah Shavuot is different. Like, Torah Shavuot is, I mean, I don't know if this is only what Torah Shavuot is, but let's say Torah Shavuot is like philosophy. One thing is like, it's philosophy. Philosophy of mitzvahs, Tamei HaMitzvahs. Like, Tamei HaMitzvahs, let's say. You have a mitzvah and you have the reason of the mitzvah, something like that. So that's not like, the mitzvah helps you remove you from Avodah Zarah, or helps you control your instincts, or, you know, it's more of, it's not like so rigorous and formulaic, you know, and the rigor of conceptualization. It's more like good ideas, true ideas about studying psychology and philosophy, and, you know, but it doesn't have the same concrete rigor to it, which is why, first of all, it's more subject to a person going off the deep end and saying his own crazy things, because it's, you know, it's not as tied down by a million halachas, right?
That's why there's mafarshim.
Yeah, there's mafarshim, but even mafarshim aren't, it's still like a little bit, like there's not, it doesn't lend itself to the same, like, precise, concrete definition.
Yeah, that's why the mafarshim are like they are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're different, radically different things. Right, exactly. It lends itself to that type of a thing. So it's much, so it's great, and it gives you, in a certain sense, it's closer to Davar Gadol than Gemara is, because it's getting down to, like, the reasons for the mitzvahs and how it benefits you, and, you know.
Right.
But first of all, you have to be much more careful in doing those types of things, that you're not just projecting and making up your own stuff. It's hard to make up your own stuff in Gemara, especially if you follow, like, a rigorous methodology and you're clear to solid definitions, and, you know. I mean, that's what we're trying to do in Yeshiva, is to learn how to do that.
Right.
But then you're training your mind and you're working on tight definitions, and once you learn what definitions are supposed to be, you can't get that far afield, because you start doing it, you say, oh, you're just making stuff up. Oh, you're just making philosophy, you know. But when you're in philosophy, the rules is not as concrete and rigorous, so the sky's the limit and you can go anywhere. So it's great, and there's great things to learn, but it's a different type of thinking, a different type of study. But the better you are at this, the more you'll be able to make that move, because you're not going to make mistakes. I mean, even that involves this type of thinking. But it's, you know, as it's miyashiv daita. It prepares your mind and sets, you know, prepares you to be able to do that. You know what I mean? Gil, you gonna say something?
No, once you're
done with this question. Okay. Okay, and then the second thing the Rambam says, so that's why I think it's very important. That's one major reason why that's what we're focusing on. Because other stuff is important. I mean, it's also important. I mean, I don't think anyone should not be doing that stuff, because, I mean, philosophy is, in a certain sense, it's more important. It's like Davar Gadol. I mean, if you have wrong ideas about God, you don't know what you're doing in the mitzvahs, you don't understand anything about Torah and the mitzvahs, and, right, Chumash and the Avos, and what's the whole Hashkafas of Torah and the Derech HaChaim of the Torah. It's, in a certain sense, first of all, it's a prerequisite to motivate you to do it. Why are you doing this? You know, like, what are you doing? What is this? Why is this a good idea? So, you know, they're studying basic hashkafa of the Torah and Derech HaChaim of the Torah, values of the Torah. Why is learning important? Why, you know, why is this the way I want to live my life? I mean, you're training your mind. You know, it's true, but you can be missing the whole, you know, the whole oomph of what the Torah does for you. It's not just a matter of training your mind. I mean, the Torah, it gives you a certain type of a life, and that's what studying philosophy and hashkafa of the Torah does. So it's very important. But it's like, it's important, but you're not really able, it's very hard to do it on your own, to just sit down with the Chavrusa and do that, because you have to be developed enough to be able to do it. What are you going to do, just sit around and think about the, I mean, it's hard to interpret the sources. It's like in a Gemara, there's a path. You're restricted, and there's like a path, and there's Gemara, there's Rashi, there's Tosfos, you know, and the problems just fly out of the page, and you know what to think about, and it's much easier to, you know, to learn how to, to know what to do. You know, you may have to learn how to do that also, but as you learn how to do that, and you do put more time into it, and you get better, and you develop your skills and your thinking, whatever, then naturally you start going towards other areas, and you start being able to say good ideas in those areas. But if you just try to do Chumash or whatever, you realize it's like, it's very daunting, it's very open-ended, and you can just make stuff up if you want, but you kind of get a feeling that you're making stuff up, you know, you don't have as much to go on. So it's good, but hearing Shiram about that is important, because, like, that first of all motivates you to do Gemara, and to be able to just to be involved in the Torah. it's kind of what's the Torah all about, you know. So I think that's why it's important to, like, there are a lot of tapes, you know, there's shiurim here, you know, but it's also listen to old tapes. I mean, there's tapes discuss all the stuff, you know, I mean, like old discussion tapes, which really are, you know, really get into these things. Perkei Avos tapes, I mean, you know, it's just harder to do it on your own. And I think in going to yeshiva especially is trying to train you to be able to be an independent learner. It's not just to stuff a lot of knowledge into your head,
right,
and then you go home and, you know, and you're done with yeshiva, and then you walk out and okay, you have all the knowledge, now what do you do? It's trying to train you how to be able to learn on your own, to be able to set up a life of Torah. That's through Gemara, because that's how you learn how to think. If you don't know how to think, if you just know a lot of philosophy, so when you grow up and you go out into the world, so then you tell everybody all your philosophical ideas and maybe break people down every so often, or you think good ideas and whatever, but what are you going to do? How are you going to learn? What are you going to do? Listen to philosophy? I mean, you heard all the philosophy, you know what you know, now what are you going to do? You can't just sit down and study philosophy. How are you going to grow and progress? But if you learn, if you master how to learn Gemara, then you could always learn Gemara, and you could always develop your thinking more, and you'll be thinking more, and the more you do that, you'll be able to do all these other areas. It opens up doors that you never would have been able to open if you know how to learn Gemara, because you know how to think, and you know it works its way. You develop, you grow in thinking and in Torah through Gemara. So that's what it is. That's Miyashim Naitoshon Tchila. So I think that's why in yeshiva, that's what we focus on, because if a guy goes through yeshiva and doesn't get that at all, his prospects of a life of learning Torah are much, much lower. It's very, I mean, you can go to Daf Yom Yashir or whatever, which is, you know, it's better than not doing that. But at the same time, you're not going to really, you know, grow in Torah. What's going to allow you to really grow in Torah is to master how to learn. And that's through Gemara. And to master learning Gemara takes time. If you spend half your syllabus on Gemara and half your syllabus on other stuff, you have less people who are able to really learn how to learn Gemara. So you got to put most of your time into that. But at the same time, I think you should also sprinkle other stuff into there. I don't think, you know, especially tapes, and you know, because you don't want to just learn how to learn Gemara but not have the whole ideas of the main ideas of the Torah. I mean, that would be a shame also.
Right,
if
that's
you don't
what I'm
know.
Saying. It's like, it seems like with such an emphasis on Gemara, you can get to the point where you've developed your mind and the way to think, but you haven't, like, while you're saying it's too open in philosophy, but if you're stuck in this, just the Gemara approach, and that's the only thing you know, when you do go to look at philosophy, like, how would you...
Because you know how to think. Because you know how to think. I mean, I'm not saying to never do Gemara.
I feel like you know how to think with a Gemara. You know how to get through a page of Gemara. You know.
No, but you know how to think. See, that's not true. That's the thing. It's not true. It's not that you just know how to do Gemara. But you know how to study science. You know how to study economics. You know how to study life. You know how to study psychology. You know how to study philosophy. You know how to study anything. Because you know how to think. Now, what's common to all the areas is a good mind and a good logical thinking. So you're not just studying a subject matter. See, in the world, if you study economics, you're an awesome economist. But you don't know anything about psychology. You don't know anything about education. You don't know anything about anything. You know, a good doctor. What does a doctor know about psychology? And what does a doctor know about law? Nothing. But a guy who knows how to think, a Gemara, Talmud Chacham, knows how to think. And he knows how to navigate a different area. He may not know facts in other areas, but he knows that also. And he knows how not to be presumptuous, and he knows how to navigate a different area, and he knows how to study philosophy. He knows how to do all these things. Now, it may take him time. He may have to put his time to develop it, but he's not going to make mistakes and go and assume he knows things that he doesn't know, and he knows the methodology of approaching a problem and taking any area of knowledge. He just knows how to take the proper steps and being able to do it because his mind is properly developed. But again, I don't think it means you shouldn't know any philosophy. You should know the basics of the Torah. But of course you have to know that stuff. But what will allow you to be able to progress in that is your ability to think. And if you don't have the ability to think, you're not going to be able to do it. And the ability to think, again, does not mean, it's not something, oh, I learned that already. It's not, it could take years and years to master. And even then, it takes even more years to master. And there's no, you know, you're not, you know, it's a pay, you know, the biggest Talmid Chacham are growing in that, you know, as they get more knowledge. I mean, it's, the depths are, and to really see, I mean, these were guys, couldn't enter, a few of them didn't make it in paradise, and these guys are the highest thinkers. So it's not like a thing, like I put in my year or two, and yeah, I know it already. It's, you know, it's an endless pursuit, and it gets better, and you know, you get better and better and better at it, and the route to doing it, that's why I don't think you ever give it up. I don't think it's ever like, now I got Gemara and I'm done. You know, it doesn't work that way. You know, it's always a constant. Even the guy who's involved in his other stuff is also doing Gemara because he's constantly improving his mind and constantly developing. And then approaching other areas and developing his mind, you know.
So at what point do you start to look into philosophy more? Like, when does...
I would think is when I think that as you gain knowledge and you gain the ability to think properly from Gemara, you'll start realizing that when you study other areas, you're developing good intuition, and you feel like you have a, you know, you can confidently take good steps. You know, I think there's a natural thing as you'll be drawn to other areas. It should be a natural thing. I don't think you should force yourself at any point. I just think naturally you're curious, and you know, things come your way, and you realize that you're able to make inroads into these types of areas that you weren't able to make previously. And you know, but you focus on Gemara, but you know, you do Chumash and you come across a Rashi and you try to analyze it, and you realize, oh, I can actually analyze that, I come up with an idea. That's pretty good. I used to not be able to do that, and you know, and it'll happen. But again, I think you should do it. I think listening, again, I think learning this stuff on your own is very hard. But I think you should go to Shiurim on these areas and listen to tapes on these areas and read articles, on, you know.
Kind of from the opposite perspective then. What do you do to get someone to want to learn tomorrow? Like someone who's not sure about, like, two questions would be, what's the order that you should, like, be teaching children? Because, I mean, I think...
Right.
Jewish education usually gets that kind of wrong because a lot of kids don't want to.
Right. Well, that's why I think you need philosophy also. Because, especially at the beginning, it depends on the person, depends on your upbringing, depends on whatever. I mean, if you're brought up in a house where they're learning Torah and that's just what you do, and that's what you do, kind of, you know.
Right.
But, I mean, you have to have enough motivation. That's why I think you have to have the philosophy also.
Right.
I mean, because you see, if you're studying philosophy, you see that the Torah is true, you see the Torah is the best life. You see how the other lives lead you towards frustration and towards unhappiness. And insofar as the more you see that, and the more you see that's what Torah is about, then you're motivated to be able to excel in Torah, because you know, you see that's going to get you the best life. You know, and you see when you're doing mitzvot, you do mitzvot and you have ideas about mitzvot, and your perceived that brings you closer to God because you have proper ideas about them. So that's certainly to motivate somebody to, you know, you gotta, it depends on the person. But if you're not motivated to learn Gemara, then you're not going to learn Gemara. But if you do that, and that philosophy will do that for you, because it will show you this. Wow, this stuff actually makes sense.
Right.
It's grounded. Now God says, the same God who I see to be true and all that, he's saying Gemara is where it's at. That's what prepares your mind. Then you say, oh, I got to do it. But you can't do it until you first convince the person that this is a good.
So that's what I'm saying. Why this kind of goes back to the beginning of the question? Why, if there's the mitzvah to know God and to love God and fear God, and he's saying those mean kind of somewhat of philosophy, why shouldn't there be something that we're studying, like, to know that God exists? Like, why isn't that, like, a huge...
Well, I think it's saying...
Like, a philosophical understanding of God. Because at some point, I feel like most people at some point just wonder, because especially if it's been what you've done your whole life, and at some point, the idea might be challenged, or you just come up with it, and it's just like... Why this?
Right. Well, I think it should be. I mean, it depends what you mean. It depends how deep knowledge you're talking about. But certain knowledge just isn't accessible to people who don't know how to think. I mean, but on a basic level, you're right, it should be. It should be part of Jewish education. And I mean, for sure. I mean, if you don't know anything about God, then you don't have the basic fundamentals of the Torah, then what are you doing? Why do you do what's Torah? I mean, so definitely it should be. You know, it's assumed, and it is assumed that it should be studied, and for sure. But it doesn't mean that a person has to spend all his time and hours on it. There's a certain amount of premises and basic ideas that a person could get enough to give him a grounding in the Torah and the truth of the Torah, and it should always be there. It's something he's doing. But then once the person sees that and sees the Torah is true and he's committed to it as being the way to live and the way to, you know, that's where it's at. So then he'll devote the time to Gemara, and he'll devote time to learning to becoming an expert in Torah.
I feel like, at least from my background, but a lot of, I know some other people have this happens too, that kind of there's a disconnect between the Jewish education for the first part of your life and then the yeshiva
experience.
Aspect of it. And the yeshiva understanding kind of takes things as, like, almost what would be a prerequisite, that you would have taken this, kind of gotten this understanding earlier in life. But for the most part, Jewish high school, they don't think you're ready for most of these things. So They give you, they keep you in the fold, but they don't give your mind that thing that you're looking for. And all of a sudden, you go to start learning Gemara because that's like that's the way to understand it. But at the same time, you never had that connection to it.
Right, for sure. I mean, I think the problem is you didn't really have. No offense, but you didn't have the greatest rebbes in high school. You know, no offense to your rebbes, not to you.
Wow.
You know, but I mean, I think there are rebbeim who do that. You know, when I was a rebbe in high school, I did that. I know, I'm sure Rebbe Goldberg.
But you guys had philosophy in your high school.
Yeah, I mean, I taught it. I mean, the style of the school, whatever. But I mean, Rabbi Gober, Rabbi Shimon. I mean, guys from yeshiva do that stuff. I mean, for sure, they have discussed. They have question and answer sessions like these all the time. You know, see this guy called Sicha or something. Or, you know.
Oh, I never had those.
You didn't have those, but you didn't have. I know for sure that because they're most. I think in a lot of places they don't. They're afraid. They don't really have great answers to these questions.
Yeah.
They're afraid to let kids ask them because you're not allowed to ask them, and they're afraid of what's going to happen. And they kind of, the smart kids end up rebelling because they realize this is why I don't believe. Why should I believe in this stuff? No one's really explaining it. They're just telling me not to ask. So unfortunately, but that's kind of like people don't, are afraid, I think, afraid to pursue these things and to really analyze them. But I think that's a shortcoming. But again, I think Rabbeim, the Rabbeim I know in high school, you know, my friends or whatever, they do it. Because, of course, definitely got to do it. Otherwise, why is the kids? Why is a smart kid supposed to learn? I mean, there are kids who are just going to go with the flow.
Right.
You know, I mean, it could be smart, but like, it's just certain kids emotionally are just going to go with the flow, and that's what the rabbis say to do, and that's what you're going to do. But there's other kids who just aren't going to do that. That's not their emotional disposition, and they're not going to just go along with it because you said they should go along with it, and they're smart enough to realize that someone's pulling a fast one on them, or they're not defending why this is really the way to go. And then they start asking questions, and no one really gives them answers, and they kind of shut them up or stop them from asking, and then they end up going off the derech or not really being that interested.
Right.
And then, you know, but I think that's a shortcoming of our high school system or whatever, for sure.
So, if someone has that lacking in their education, what's the...
You mean now, and they're in yeshiva currently? Yeah. I think they should ask these questions, go to Q&A sessions, go to Hashgafa Shiras, listen to tapes. These things are all on the tapes. I mean, unfortunately, you know, they happen now. I mean, but the tapes have 20 years worth of discussions, you know, whatever. And it's you have to, you know.
I understand that they're on the tape and like it is accessible, but at the same time, there's definitely something different between listening to those tapes and being able to ask your questions.
That's why they have Q&A. You have every week Q&A. I mean, you have you have Rebbeim around. You have other guys, older guys around. You have Shabbos, you know. People's meals on Shabbos. I mean, I think we should discuss these things, for sure. I mean, the guys should have these discussions. Talk to the older guys. I mean, this is stuff that it shouldn't be ignored, for sure. It's just like, there's the syllabus of yeshiva as you're doing tomorrow, but what should he do during lunch and during dinner and on the, you know, and whatever, when you have free time? What do the guys, I mean, that's the way it should be. Talk to older guys. Talk to me. Talk to the guys who are around. Talk to Rebbeim, you know. Ask these things. Talk about these for sure. This definitely should be. I mean, tapes are also good. I think they're very good. But I mean, these things should be discussed amongst the guys. Like, have these discussions. Ask amongst yourselves. See what you guys get. Come and ask me. Come and ask Rav Pesach. Come and ask Rav Cinnamon. Ask Rabbi at the Q&A. I mean, that's the idea of the Q&A. You know, I mean, that's what happens. It just, you know, and it happens, you know. That's why I think it got reintroduced. But it's like, that's, you know, whenever you have these questions, bring them up. But still, it's like, even the queue, again, the tapes, I don't think it was ever like every single day. That's just the way it was. It's just that you have a lot of tapes because you're dealing with many years worth of stuff, so you could just, you know, you just listen to them. But I know it depends. Certain people, it's harder or easier to listen to tapes. It's not always easy to do. But, you know, if you get good ones and you kind of get yourself to do it, you'll get to get a lot of basic ideas through doing that. But it's not, for sure, it's not the same thing. But I'd encourage you to, anytime you have a question, to ask it, come to me. You know.
I mean, I like the transcribed versions of the tapes better. I find it easier to read them than to listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not as many.
Not so many. Yeah.
Like, is there...
Look, Masorah.org has a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, that has a ton of things, and they're all basic stuff, all these things. He has all that stuff, you know?
But, like, I guess my question is, so the person who's telling me these things, like, they're instructing me, and what's the safer that they're going, like... Why can't we go through? Why isn't there a part of yeshiva that has you going through a sefer that touches on these things, even if it's at a basic level?
Well, isn't Rav Pesach doing? He's doing Rav Chelek. I don't know. I mean, that's what he does.
Yeah.
So that's
what?
Uh,
I mean, that's like, that's what I was saying. Like, that's the best one for that thing, but it's once a week.
Right.
It's
right. I guess because the main goal, I mean, you could take that and then I can learn Gemara.
I heard him say once that, like, it's like kind of upsetting that, like, you have, like, the class and, like, maybe the guys like discuss it afterward. At some point, everyone kind of just, like, forgets about it. And I feel like part of that is because we just go back to learning Gemara. It's not like there isn't the same application we're having to building our minds for the type of thought of Gemara isn't being applied to building yourself. Even excluding, like, higher philosophy, but just, like, philosophy of, like, who you are as a person, what's, like, the right things to do.
Right.
Like, you were taught all those as a child. I don't know. This, again, might be my education versus your, but, like, you're taught what's right, what's wrong, but, like, to some degree, and at some point you get older, and it's not the same answer. It's not
right. Right. I understand.
You do right and wrong so you don't get punished. Now it's, what do I want to do the right thing, and it's not...
Right, I understand. Yeah.
You're not really... I mean, I wouldn't say that the reason why these messages aren't, you know, like what Pesach was saying, like, that people aren't getting anything out of it. It's not because we're putting so much effort into Gemara that no other effort is left for anything else. I think it's more like people aren't, like, internalizing the lesson.
No, so I'm saying we're not. I'm not saying we waste our energy on Gemara, so we don't put the same emphasis on those classes as we do. Like, we have once a week, we have that really good shiur.
Yeah.
But every day, for the first 3 hours of our day, we're doing Gemara.
I think the main thing is because the Gemara will give that the philosophy. If you do, let's say you spend the whole day, switch it around. So then you study the Hashkafa for 3 hours in the day, and then you have Gemara once a week, right? So then what would happen is you'd give the guys a basic knowledge of the ideas of the Torah, and that would be great, and then that's what they carry with them for the rest of their lives, and that would be it. But it's in a certain sense a dead end. It's like it's giving them like a basic education, but that's where it would be at. But that's good, and that's what high school is for, and that's the theory. Unfortunately, most of us didn't get it in high school, but that's a level. But that's not the end goal. It's a level, and it's a good goal, and some people, you know, better than not having that for sure. But I think the yeshiva is about is being able to train guys to be able to have a life of Torah, and if you really train guys to be able to think and to be able to do that, then they'll get that stuff if they're motivated. If you're not motivated to do that stuff, then you're not going to be able to do that stuff, and no one's going to shove it into you. But if you're motivated to do it, and you learn Gemara, and you focus on it, and you learn how to think, then you'll be able to have a life of Torah. So the yeshiva is preparing guys for a life of Torah. Right. But it's if a guy is saying, "Listen, I'm not having a life of Torah. I just want the basics of, the basics of the Torah and the basics of the philosophy and all those things," then I mean, you have to. There may be a yeshiva like that. I don't think that's this yeshiva, but there could be such a yeshiva that exists like that. Yeah, in Israel, that's their thing. So yeah, there's other things that's not, there is such a thing like they say, listen, I'm not going to be a guy who learns Torah. I just want to know the basics of the Torah, the basic philosophy, the basic stuff. And you can, but it's not, it doesn't, what are you going to do when you finish your years in yeshiva? It doesn't lend itself to doing much. It's just, you hear the shiurs, whatever it is, you heard the shiurs, you're a few hours, you're 3 hours there when you're in yeshiva, but then you're finished yeshiva and you got a job. So now basically your whole life is being propelled by those few hours that you had over over your years in yeshiva. But as opposed to you should prepare a guy and teach him how to think, teach him how to learn Gemara, teach him how to learn Torah, he's prepared to be able to have a life of Torah where he could be on his own figuring these things out and developing and growing and thinking and in Torah and all for his whole life. So yeshiva is, my impression, yeshiva is designed to be able to prepare guys to be able to have a life of Torah. But I'm not saying that's not a reasonable goal if a guy is not... I mean, I don't see why a guy can't have that goal and can't be on this program, but there's a different program. There would be a different program if a person was doing that. Like, I would think that would be more of a high school program. Because, right. Like, in high school, a guy's not learning how... He's not mastering Gemara learning or whatever. So they say, look, to get a guy to appreciate Torah, get all the basic things of Torah, and he'll be motivated. Now he comes to yeshiva, he'll... Unfortunately, some of us do get that in high school. Others of us don't get that in high school. Like, I know the guys from Flatbush, who had a big over in high school, he did that stuff all the time. That's, most of us, he tried to spend most of his time on these types of discussions. You know, but if you are in yeshiva and you happen, given that you're in this yeshiva and you're not in a yeshiva, that's the primary syllabus. So first of all, you got to ask questions as much as you could. You got to ask your band questions, ask your friends questions, talk about stuff. If you're really motivated about the stuff, then talk about it. Why? You know, I guess that's Gil's point. Is if there are that 1 hour a year, 1 hour a week, then are we taking that 1 hour a week and jumping on it and discussing it and really thinking about it and trying to follow up on it? Or, you know, look, the yeshiva isn't doing that. It's not the syllabus. But if you really move to it, then do it. Then ask questions, then discuss, then you know, think about it more. Try to find other, you know, related things. There are tapes. I mean, if you're saying, you know, there are tapes. They're hard to listen to. But a person is motivated to get knowledge and he listens to tapes. It's hard? Fine. Do a little work and do it. It's hard. It is hard, but you know, sometimes life's hard. If you're really that interested in getting all these things and you really want life and why I want to live my life and what's good and what's bad, then look, learn how to listen to a tape. It's not that hard. You know, you have to, you know, be able to focus. You got to shut off the computer, shut off the cell phone, focus, you know. But, you know, if we want to, look, it's certainly easier to sit in a chair all day long and have Rabbi do it, no doubt. But that isn't happening. I mean, it could be to a certain degree, but it's not happening all day long, 3 hours a day. It's just not, you know. So given that that's the case, so we have to be self-motivated a little bit, you know. But you could be. I don't see why, you know. But it's hard. It is hard, but I think it pays off, you know. And if that's, I guess, what Gil's saying, is if there's no desire to do it, you can't just to say that, hey, we need more of it. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
So then the last thing is, is there something in the other, like, Tanakh and stuff to go back to just, like, on your own, should you be, like, let's say you have an hour each day free, like, when you have a job or whatever, we keep saying, like, Gemara is, like, you're gonna keep building your mind, but at some point, is there a merit to going over those things, or is that just something that you kind of...
When? After you're already a master in Gemara?
No, when you're still not a mastering Gemara, but you're not in yeshiva, like you don't have that much time anymore.
So why? But that's what you should do. So then that's certainly why you should be doing more Gemara. Because that's where you're going to be able to do those. You could do those things, but you're not going to succeed. I can tell you now, you're not going to succeed. You're just going to be reading it through. You're going to get a nice story, but you're not going to really get depth. You're not going to really get what it's about. Now, if you're saying you don't have time to become good at Gemara and good at thinking, then unfortunately those things are going to remain close to you. But you can't force it. But I'd say is in whatever time you have, so just focus on Gemara. Get that hour or two and learn how to do it. It doesn't have mean you have to do it all day long in order to do it. You could do it. The more you do it, the more you'll get better at it, and the more you'll naturally be able to. Look, I'd say go over the Parsha every week. Go over the Parsha, look at the Rashis. Rashi looks interesting to you. Start trying to think about it. Talk it over with the fellows. See if they have any ideas. That's a funny Rashi. What does he mean by that? I wonder. Ask someone, bring it up at the table, bring it up at lunch, breakfast, dinner, talk to ask a rabbi, you know. I'd say that's the best way to do it. Do the Parsha. Go over the Parsha. So every day, everyone in the world is discussing that Parsha for the week, you know. So what do you need to go to the Navi? The Chumash is, you know, God wrote it. You know, and there's Rashi there. Rashis are pretty accessible. That's what I would recommend if you want to do it. If you want to do like Tanakh, I'd say just do the Parsha. Look over the Parsha, skim through Rashis. Look for things that look interesting. See if you could ask a good question on it. Analyze it. Ask someone about it. Talk it over with the guys. You know? Mm-hmm. Get that kind of... I think that would be the best way to do it. And then, you know, you do it anyways. So, you know, do the Parsha. You know, but I think it's... Again, I don't think there's a shortcut to being able to get into these areas. The path is a long, hard one. But it pays off. And it's not all or none either. The more you do it, the better you'll be at it. Yeah. But, I mean, I think you got to ask the questions. I mean, that's why I think, you know, I mean, I think in theory there, those other shares on, what's it been giving on, what night is it, Tuesday night? Are we got Ari Ginsburg gave on the other night, and Zimmer, right?
Yeah.
Dave Markowitz is good, right? Dave Markowitz. I mean, in theory, they're available. You got to take the opportunities to make, you know, as much as they're possible, accessible. But, I think it's worthwhile learning how to listen to tapes because there are so many tapes and all these topics. There are a lot of topics. You read through the list of the tapes. They're awesome. You look at them. Wow, I'd love to hear that. That's great. There's a shiur about that? So, yeah, there is one. So sit down and listen to it. It's hard, especially nowadays where there's so many distractions. It's hard to do. But if you learn how to do that, then any topic that you're interested in is open to you. There's so many tapes out there, and they're awesome. They're great. They're on your level. They're basic, basic stuff, basic questions. Guys exactly asking the types of questions you're asking. They're all out there. There's tons of good tapes out there, you know. Just you look through them, I'm sure. It's like, wow, that's great. I wish I heard a share on that. I wish I heard a share on that. So you can do something about it, you know. But you have to focus. That's the problem. You do it while you're driving is a good idea, I think. It depends. Yeah. If you're going to get into an accident, don't do it. But like you're driving, you're not really distracted. What are you going to do? You can't go on the computer. You can't. You shouldn't be texting. Well, you know, whatever it is. So it's a good time. What do I do while you're driving? Listen to the radio. So stop listening to that radio and listen to Shir. You know, that's what I mean. I used to do that going to Queens College. I listened to so many tapes back and forth to Queens College. So much time. There's nothing to do. You know, instead of listening to music or the radio, you just listen to tapes. You know how many tapes you listen to and commuting to whatever? You start listening to them, and in a year you listen to 200 tapes, you know? So much, you know, how much knowledge, basic, all these things you'll get by listening to 200 tapes. You know, you drive down to whatever, Baltimore, back, you know, there's tons of time. Yeah, you just have to be able to be disciplined about it. But if you really want to know that stuff, and a part of you, I'm sure, does, it's just there are other parts of us that distract us and tell us to do other stuff. You know, but we have to stand up to that and be able to realize, listen, this is what's my life, and I want to know how to do these things, and these are important to me, and I got to be able to, you know, to stop the distractions and be able to focus on, you know, this is great, this will be awesome for me, I'll be so much better off if I could just manage to do it. And it takes self-control, and you know, but I think it's worth it. But it's a lost art, I think, listening to tapes. Somehow it's just, you know, it's old and whatever, and, you know, it's, I don't know. I think maybe, I don't know why, but whatever it is. It used to be, that's what guys did.
It's coming back.
What?
I feel like it's coming back.
It is?
People love, like, online classes is the new thing.
So yeah.
If anything, yeah.
I've never been into
MP3s,
online.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But it's not even tapes. The old Rebbe's old tapes are where it's at. I mean, those old discussions. First 100, 200 discussions. Not just the new ones, the old ones. Because the new ones are more advanced. The old ones, you really got into all these basic questions. There are guys who are like high school kids. I mean, the first few 50, 100 discussions, they're awesome. They're really basic stuff. And, you know, if you're able to sit and focus and do it, then you really could get all these things, exactly what you're looking for. Everyone used to do it. The guy, yeshiva guys used to be like, everyone would be doing these things. This is just part of, you want to get the basics of the philosophy of the Torah, of yeshiva, whatever. You just listen to these tapes, and then you'll know it. Won't take that long, right? You said you did that, right? In the summer, you told me you did that, right? Is that you?
What?
You listen to the tapes in the summer, or are you reading that book? You right? I guess it was a book?
Oh, the book.
Same type of
but
thing.
It's the same.
Same thing. You read that book. Rabbi has that book, or I guess he wrote that book. It's a whole book, 300 pages of this stuff from tapes.
Car's great.
Car, yeah, because there's nothing else going on, and everyone drives, right?
Car, subway,
yeah, that kind of thing. When there's nothing, you know, if you're by a computer, it's hard. If you're doing it at home, or, you know, don't be by your computer. Your computer is going to kill you. You're not going to be able to listen. You space out. You start going on the computer, and then you're dead. The next thing you know, it's 20 minutes later. You know what's going on in this year. But so do it. Sit in the base medrash. Sit in the base medrash. Leave your laptop in your room and listen to the tape. You don't have to be in your room. Why do you have to be in your room in front of your computer? That's a bad move. Don't start doing something you really want to focus on in front of your computer. You're going to lose. You know, do it somewhere else. But no, there's always a reason why. I know I want to be here just cause, whatever. I want to check something. I'm going to listen. It doesn't work. You know, you got to create the right situation. But try them. I think you'll really enjoy those. I think that's what you're looking for. I know it's hard to do, but try to listen to 5 tapes. See what you know, really put in an effort to listen to 5 tapes and see how it goes. You know, take from the beginning. You know, I have a thing, a list of like 40 tapes or something. I could try to email it to you. I just kind of picked. Yeah, it's not. I don't know. It's not officially the best of, but I picked a list of 40 things I thought were pretty good. You know.
Yeah, Mashnew also has a
list of recommended tapes.
A list of recommended for like a first year guy.
Yeah, yeah. So for sure, that's what I'm saying. Take those and just listen to a few and really make an effort to do it. I think it's underrated. People don't realize how great stuff there is on that. You know, and it's all these questions are all addressed. All the exactly what you're talking about.
I guess the only thing I've been wondering this whole time is just like, why isn't there some sort of safer that does this? Like,
because you're talking about discussions and questions and answers, and I mean, you're not
right. Like, are these the sort of
they're gotten from a Sfarma, but the Sfarma aren't written Sfarma written by Rishonim talking to Tamei Chacham or talking to they're not written for high school kids. Sfarma aren't written for high school kids. They're written at a higher level, so you need someone to bring it down to our level. We're not at the level. There's no safer written like that. The one sefer, I'd say the best sefer, which is what you're looking for, is Sefer HaChinuch. Sefer HaChinuch was written for bar mitzvah kids. And he basically takes every mitzvah and he gives a little philosophy about it. So if you want a sefer to do that, I'd say it's on every parsha, whatever, go through Sefer HaChinuch. The parsha, Mishrosh, and mitzvah. I mean, you can do the other stuff, but the roots of the mitzvah.
I did Rambam for Torah.
No, it's different. No, not it. No, it's not as long as detailed. The Sefer HaChinuch was a Rishon, and he writes the philosophy on every mitzvah.
On every mitzvah?
On every mitzvah, he has philosophy. So it's really, the basic philosophy of every single mitzvah. It's not just to get what the mitzvah is, it's the philosophy of the mitzvah. And it exists in English, Sefer HaChinuch. And he wrote it for kids. Bar mitzvah kids, advanced bar mitzvah kids, probably by our standards, but still, it's what you're talking about. But again, you're talking about like to answer your questions. So that's like bringing it down to our level. The tapes were guys your age asking these questions to Rabbi 30 years ago, you know? And he was taking their arguing and fighting and why isn't Torah the best? Oh, come on, this is whatever. I mean, there's like these arguments.
That happens?
Yeah, that happens. And these tapes, you got to listen to these tapes, I'm telling you. This is what it was about. These guys were coming from this thing. They didn't believe Rabbi that Torah was it. They didn't believe him, and they'd argue these things. They'd fight these things out, and they'd have questions. And why is this the best life? Why is it most enjoyable? What does pleasure mean? What is happiness? What does that even mean? I mean, all these. Tell you, look through the list. Just look through the list of the first 100 discussions. You see, they're interesting. The soul one, the soul number two, Olam Haba. I mean, I'm telling you, just listen to the topics. Find the ones that really appeal to you, and just start listening to them. Listen to a few, and then, you know. I don't know, for some reason guys don't know about it. It's not, used to be a big thing.
Well, it's also like, which tape, do you mean the ones like, there's like some that are online?
No, they're not online.
Sammy has
they're not online.
Right, I think that's part of it.
So get them.
Yeah.
Buy it. Buy a CD of 40 tapes.
There's a CD of tapes?
You could make any CD of tapes. I don't even know about it. There's a list of, there's a PDF file on the internet of the tapes.
Right, I've seen
and
that.
pick 40 tapes that you want and tell Hashi, ask Hashi to pay him.
$1
a year, tell them pay. Is it that much? Whatever it is. Pay him money.
Why,
I thought it was less.
I would think it was less too.
And just get a CD full of 40 tapes. Or I have a list for you.
I feel like I'll buy him a CD.
Yeah, I have a list. I have a list if you want. I could send it to you of like 40 tapes. You know, and Heshi probably even has it. He probably has the thing.
Who?
But Heshi. Shadoff, he's the one who makes tapes nowadays, right? Or Sammy maybe has it.
Sammy.
So yeah, Sammy may have my list. I can give Sammy my list. Like if you want, I give Sam my list, and guys can get the thing. But there's just so many of these, you know. I'm just saying, you just don't know how good they are. I'm telling you, they're awesome. You'll really enjoy it, but you just got to be able to do it, you know. And then unfortunately, maybe I should talk about them more. I don't realize guys didn't even know what they are. They're really, if they're fun, I'm telling you, you want to have fun on a Saturday night, just try to listen to some tapes.
Sure.
I'm not. I'm telling you, they're awesome. I'm not even pushing it.
Sunday night is fine. Saturday night.
Like, I'm telling you, you'll have more fun than playing pool or watching some movie.
Yeah.
You know?
One of my first Saturday nights in Yeshiva, I came back from work and really burnt out from work. And I came to Midnight's room and we just sat down, had two beers, and listened to Yeshiva.
Yeah, it was awesome, right?
Yeah,
I'm telling you. That's what it's like. That's the life. For sure.